Okay. This morning, I want to talk to you some more about processes which are extremely functional. They really work. And you better have some, because there are cases around that hang fire on you. I keep telling you about these cases and so forth. Well, that's the reason why, is because these are the cases that snap terminals on you. How do you solve any and all cases? Well, you could solve any and all cases, probably, with a 45 automatic. Everybody'd exteriorize. But this is not looked upon as humanitarian for some reason or other. And so you use processing. I don't say that the processing is sublimated work with an automatic, but the way I see some auditors on it who haven't been trained, you'd believe it. Well, when it comes to the solution of cases, I refer you back to the earlier lectures about barriers, about the notice X scale. You can consider each one of these a barrier. Suppression or oppression or something of the sort. The individual, in other words, is confronted by this particular type of ridge and believes he cannot progress beyond that ridge. His way up, you might say, is barred by continual roofs. And if you could just see this, notice X scale is a whole flock of roofs, one stacked on another, and realize you've got to pull your preakler up through these roofs, you realize that those roofs are going to remain solid until you make a hole in them. And if you don't make a hole in those roofs, your preclear's not going to come on up the line. Well, preclear's will often hang up at the sex band. One of the easy ways to process this is 8D with a wheel, this whole thing. But one of the easy ways to process sex is just to take 8D and hit it where would the various elements of sex be safe, and where would they find the preclear safe? And that would be semen, fetuses, ovi, all kinds of odds and ends that are sexual, genitals and so on. Well, we go up a band and we find out that he might get stuck on the subject of food. That's your next immediate big barrier up the line. And so we just find out where food would be safe, various kinds of food. And next, he'd be stuck on symbols and so forth, and you could have where symbols would be safe and where they'd find him safe. And you go up the line a little bit further, and you find thinking. Where would it be safe to think? Where would thoughts be safe? Where would thoughts find him safe? We'd go up the line further and get to the most important of these barriers. And just because we have drawn 8D with a wheel from the bottom up, and because you have taken a crack at the sex and eatingness bands, and found out that your preclear didn't immediately break down and become something more than human, is no reason why you shouldn't take a real good look at 8D after it gets above thinkingness. Because its most important section is effort and emotion. These are the two most important sections of it, and is the most important general section of that scale. Well, there are several ways that you can handle any one of these barriers. Tolerance of viewing sex, for instance, tolerance of viewing eating, tolerance of viewing, you know, just viewpoint straight wire. But when you get to tolerance of viewing effort, you're liable to have a little picnic on your hands with a preclear, because you find he can't look at things in motion, and therefore he has to have everything still. Well, you know, you could spend too much time on 8D with a wheel. You could just spend too darn much time on it. And possibly any argument you would have with this process is just that fact. You can spend an awful lot of time. You can clean up sex, wham, the wakes, all of it, and then try to hit the next band and so forth. But the funny part of it is your preclear is normally in a condensed band. That is to say, he's in the notice X band, clear down to the bottom, condensed. So therefore, if you spend very much time on each one of these items on 8D with a first runaround, well, you're liable to be wasting your time. You see that. In other words, you just couldn't clean up all of sex. You'd find it immediately closing with effort, and you'd find it closing with emotion and all that sort of thing. In other words, at the point you find any PC with which you're going to have any trouble whatsoever, at this point, He is so condensed, and these things are so close together as a band, that one of them gets very well entangled with another one. So let's do 8D with a wheel repetitively and swiftly and find out where we're really, really hung up with this case. All right. Of course, the anatomy of 8D with a wheel is just to take some of the most effective processes and then alter step 4. We take an opening procedure. We get the individual. Then with step 1 to be 3 feet back of his head, we ask him with step 2 simply to duplicate whatever he is looking at and then duplicate nothingness. And then in step 3, we simply ask him to hold the two back corners of the room and then get places where he is not. And then we go into step 4. And after we've done step 4 on sex, which is... step 4 is the only change, you see. And we've done step 4. It's where would sexual objects be safe and where would they find the pre-clear safe? Where would genitals be safe and where would they find the pre-clear safe? So forth. Now, we would turn around then and we would go to opening procedure again. Just to do it all over again. And then be 3 feet back of your head and so forth. Of course, if you start pounding be 3 feet back on your head too often to somebody who is having a hard time exteriorizing, you give him a series of failures. So you can very often omit that if you want to. The other things will bring him back there, but you can also remedy these failures too, so it doesn't matter too much. It isn't anything that I would stress enormously, just because the guy will be back of his head. It isn't these failures which are keeping him in his head, believe me. All right. Now, I've said now that there are a couple of important points on this notice-sex scale. And if you were to take these, and if these were all we had of 8D with a wheel, we would find ourselves very rich. And what are these significant points? That's effort and emotion. Well, what are the significant points of effort and emotion? Where would it be safe to use force? And where would... force finds you safe, and where would you find force safe, and so forth. Back and forth, back and forth. Now, I've run this as far afield as just asking the fellow where atom bombs would be safe and where atom bombs would find him safe, and I had the most fantastic, about 15 minutes there. This thing just ran so hot that this individual was sick and well and radioactively burned and everything else, and yet he was a case that couldn't exteriorize and was having an awful time with processing. Instead of using force or effort as a generalized term, I just started asking what's about the most forceful thing which we haven't had, which is where's atom bombs safe. This individual, by the way, knew nothing about atom bombs or atomic physics beyond what he'd read in the newspapers. And do you know that I found out right there why the American public sits around and why other publics in the world sit around on their hands and don't even raise the slightest whisper when anybody does anything that has atomic energy connected with it? It was below his level of reality. It just had no reality to it at all that a bomb existed because he could not confront effort. He couldn't confront effort of this magnitude, and the second that he tried to, and tried to face up to just phrasing the question, he became quite sick at his stomach. So the idea of contemplating an atom bomb is more than an individual who is in the medium band of a normal, so forth, can undertake to do physically. In other words, just contemplating it is more than he can do. Evidently, Earth was cleaned up and civilized with atomic fission quite some time ago. And the net result is everybody's got some nice hefty engrams on this, and when somebody comes pushing around with an atom bomb, why, everybody just looks at it and gets sick. Well, anyway, there's his barrier. There was a major barrier with this particular case. Well, we went on up the line. We ran some viewpoint straight wire. We went on and ran some emotion, rather, and then we ran some viewpoint straight wire. And then I hit 8D again, and this time I found he was just not even vaguely alerted anywhere up the line, no communication lag at all on sex, symbols. He wasn't upset about effort particularly, you know, not so he'd get a big communication lag on it. He wasn't in good shape on it yet, but yet I'd only run where he would find atom bomb safe and where they would find him safe. And I'd only run that for about 15, 20 minutes, see? But the next one up, The next time I went around on the thing, we had a snag, all right, and it was right where it belonged, which was immediately above effort. And that was emotion. And the two emotions which were terrific barriers on this were terror, exclamation point, and hate, exclamation point. And we like to have torn this boy apart. I mean, it was just as though we had wild horses on his ridges. It was fabulous. You talk about the amount of... This, by the way, had nothing to do with whether he became terrified or whether he started to hate anybody or not. This had nothing to do with it. The fact of the matter was, the central ridges with which this case was connected, they were composed out of these two things, hate and terror. A lot of other little side manifestations turned on when we ran these two things, other little emotional fringes, but we just stayed on the main road. And this individual wound up, at the end of another hour's processing, despising, I just left him there, despising psychosomatic illness. We didn't do anything about psychosomatic illness at all. This just suddenly showed up. And the amount of lip curl which he had on the subject of people who would try to get along in life by becoming ill was fabulous. And he opined that there had been a couple of members of his family who had tried to do this one way or the other, and you might say this was directly responsible for his state. No, it wasn't. No, this individual now could work and had lost a point of view which told him why people would go to such despicable dodges to keep from working. He'd cleaned up effort. And having cleaned the effort up, you see, it then became to him something to sneer at, to try to get out of work, to go to such a dodge as being ill, to keep from working. That was quite a remarkable change in this person. Because this person had come to me some hours of processing before this as a roaring hypochondriac. You know, I don't know. You suppose this processing will be too hard for me? You know, I'm not very strong. So, but he managed to lift the words around. Anyway, <that's... laughs> Well, he wound up there in a state of mind wherein he could exert effort, and therefore... He didn't just think, but he knew something was dreadfully wrong with somebody who could not contemplate effort. He knew this. What are you trying to do as an auditor but bring about some state of change to make an individual more able? You will never make an individual more able than when you rehabilitate effort or energy. Effort and energy, of course, are the common denominator to facsimiles, engrams, oh my, all kinds of anything, objects, telephone lines, power plants, atom bombs, it all has a common denominator of effort. But effort, in this case, just had to be cleaned up just to that degree before he could hit emotion. And after the effort had been cleaned up to that degree, then he could hit emotion, and he did hit emotion. Crunch. Now, by the way, this case had already had run on him, swizzle stick processing. He'd been asked about who was he being sick for, and, you know, he'd been set on the road already by this, and he'd had a little 30. He'd had about an hour and a half of opening procedure by duplication. So he was following orders very well by this time, and he was much more able to orient himself. And I had also done with him some next-to-the-last-list self-analysis on the insane universe in the case, which universe was not very insane. His mother had been a little bit tippy in the wits, but actually only at the time she died. Wasn't a real insane universe, but I just sprung this out with some straight wire on this subject. And then we hit 8D and tried to hit the lower rungs of it. Couldn't really get any place. Went immediately into effort, and I translated effort into the first thing that came to my mind, which is atom bombs, and we just ran out effort in the form of atom bombs. And then we went immediately into hate, which I knew was the next big ridge up the line. Where would he find hate safe? Where would it be safe for people to hate him? And so forth. And the answer to this question was a sudden cave-in of the case. Anywhere. Just anywhere. Anybody could be safe. Anywhere they wanted to hate me. We ran it for a few minutes, and he wasn't so sure. He was being, you know, this generalization you were running into yesterday, all right? This generalization was much there. Everybody would hate me everywhere, you see. This kind of a reaction. And on my part, I was saying, all right, now just give me one place they could be and hate you safely. Oh, but everywhere, one place. Just look around here, give me one place. Well, just anywhere in the hall, just one place where somebody could stand and hate you safely. Well, just, oh, I don't know, certainly any place around here, you know. And then finally, I practically, by strangling him, got him to point, of all things, the top of a telephone pole as a safe place. And then he pointed the tops of mountains, and he pointed to the tops of this and the tops of that. Finally, he said, well, this is very silly, you know, to point these places out, because they could just hate me safely anywhere. And then we tried to find out where it'd be safe for him to hate somebody else. We found out he could hate somebody else safely if this other person were some unimaginably long distance away. This manifestation demonstrated to him. All of a sudden, he came out of his stupor and his funk, and he all of a sudden said, you know, that's why nations go to war. They only find themselves safe, you know, to hate somebody as far away as another nation. You know, they haven't got guts enough to hate anybody in their own country. After this sage observation, he dived back in again went on with this. And that was very heavy. All the time he was doing this, you want to know what heavy means, boy, it's just those old ridges there moving around and peeling off and stirring up and somatics turning on. And getting sick and getting well, and an awful headache he'd had most of his life turning on. He suddenly realized the whole front part of his brain was entirely paralyzed. It was awfully paralyzed and completely petrified. He just before thought that it wasn't there, but he discovered it was entirely petrified. All this in about an hour. Then, of course, I turned around and leveled the case off by running some more of the wheel. You see, I mean, the first, second, third steps. He was exteriorized at the end of that time with a very little bit of certainty, but he certainly could get an effort impression of his body sitting there, and he knew something had happened to him. But most, he knew his state of mind had changed. He knew his state of mind had changed. At the end of this processing session, by the way, and for the next 2 days, he was not feeling well. He did not feel well. The way you consider feeling well, which is no sensation. He felt very, very, very uncomfortable because he hurt. But you might say mentally, he was very well set up. He felt this way, but he didn't give a darn. It didn't worry him even vaguely. And before this, if he'd ever stubbed his toe, he probably would have called his mother long distance in New York City to have gotten her to cry over the phone line about this horrible situation. What a change in this case. Well, this change was brought about immediately by one taking very, very permissive, quiet process, something like, who are you eating for, you know? Who don't you care if they survive, that sort of thing. Who would be all right to have survive? Something on the order of, where doesn't your condition exist? Something like that. And then just butchering him with this opening procedure by duplication, which, by the way, he did uniformly, apathetically. All of a sudden got a terrific color sensation. You know, colors changed on him. And he suddenly realized that he'd been almost colorblind. He was seeing colors by a sort of a circuit. He knew that green traffic lights were green, but he didn't see green traffic lights. Of course, it's doubtful if he ever really saw a traffic light. But he knew they were green, but he didn't see the green that he knew they were, although he knew he was seeing that they were green. And he discovered this arrangement for himself on opening procedure by duplication. Then, as I say, pulled on through, and all of a sudden we had atom bombs, and then hate, And then, after that, hate for a while, terror. And this was, by the way, which probably changed his case more than anything else. We ran hate and terror in 1 hour. Now, of course, if you were just doing a finishing up job on this fellow, why, you'd go up into the rat race and circle the field and come in and shoot another landing thing. I mean, you'd run 8D again. And here's a case, though, where once over lightly, really knowing your business and getting in there and pitching, would alter this. Now, this was a no-place-to-flinch-to case, which was my main interest in it. He had no place to flinch to. There was no back flinch, no front flinch, nothing like that. And it was all black, 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 and they were all ridges, 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 ridges. He had read some of the early material on this, and he was still stirring it around without any change because he was avoiding the effort. All right, now I'll just give you a brief resume on this. This is, by the way, not just one case. I'm just telling you about this one particular case. This is an example. Auditors, by the way, in general, are having pretty good success with this, but I find out they are falling back from it because they start to run 8D with a wheel, and they will normally run people, you know, a few people, one way or the other, and then maybe start to take a pass at sex, and then kind of relax. If I didn't have any time, really, with a case, I would avoid the early pure form of it, and I would just slug in into effort and hit effort and emotion just like that as fast as possible. Now, you'll find your cases variously hung up in what they define as anger, which is a temporary state, and hate, which is a more permanent state, and terror, and grief as ridges. Now, you say, how the devil can terror be a ridge? Well, believe me, it is one. Terror is a ridge. Fear is a dispersal, but terror is a ridge. They freeze up just like rigor mortis. They do. The flesh gets hard and so forth when an individual goes into excessive terror. I know this because I picked a guy. He had had a guy kill right alongside of him, an infantryman climbing out of a landing craft. And he hadn't known for a moment whether he was shot or dead, you see, or not. And picked him up off the sand and had to be real careful of the boy because he was liable to break. You know, you had that sensation about it. His joints were stiff. You expect a guy who is in a state of fear or apathy or something, you see, to go limp, you know, to fall limply. No, this fellow was in a state of complete stiffness. If you'd taken one of his fingers and had pulled it up forcibly, it had probably snapped like an icicle. See, he was frozen. He was still alive, but he was in a terrible state of shock. Well, now, what is this shock? And on an examination of it, we find that this shock, which we call surgical shock, any one of these shocks, seems to be bordered by fear on both sides. And the shock really could be characterized as what we would call terror. Terror starts to shake and then shakes so rapidly that it becomes solid, if you could imagine that. And what we call surgical shock is this excess of fear which results in a solidity. And it's very possible that many a person categorized as a catatonic is not a catatonic, is not in apathy, and is not at that point of the band, but is in a state of extreme terror. Now, as you, as an auditor, you come along and you start to take the lid off of this terror, you know, and you start to take it off by putting fear in the walls or any technique. They're good techniques, but they're not rapid. And all you'll do is uncork it, and the next thing you know, you'll have a boy trying desperately to repress screams. You've just moved him just far enough, you see, in terror, so that he's going to start screaming. Where is this band? Well, of course, that band is at 1.0 on the tone scale. But it really isn't at 1.0 because that is a flow point. But that band is located in that immediate neighborhood. I dare say that a 1.1 is actually in a sort of a frozen terror. Let's see, what would that band be? 315. It's 0.75. It must be right there at 0.75. That ostensibly would be grief, but grief must be the lower harmonic of that. Haven't examined this very closely. It doesn't matter because these are just arbitrary numbers. You see, there's no real reason to assign a value to them. Just trying to give you the approximate location on the tone scale where this rigid terror would set in. Because with 8, it's important all of a sudden. Never was important before. Why wasn't it important? Because we couldn't crack it. We could pass it, bypass it, set it aside, do other things with it, you see, and so forth, but there was no technique which was rapid enough to go into the heart of terror and walk out alive. This wasn't one. Well, 8D with a wheel is. If you would start asking people, where is it safe to scream? Why, he would probably creep on back into the terror band. If you were to ask somebody to go out and just scream, and scream all he wanted to, and so forth, you would probably get a result of some sort or another, but there is a slight liability to doing that. The individual is liable to start coming out of terror.
With no auditor present.
Let me assure you that terror can be a very nasty thing. It can be a very nasty thing. I have never seen anyone really shaken, you might say, about life. And that's an unintentional pun there, shaken. Except when he was confronted by that terror band. I have seen apathy so horrible that the individual was actually in a sort of an emotional agony. Oh, dreadful stuff, you see, just awful. But I have really never seen an individual go utterly and irrecoverably out of his own control except with the emotion terror. I would go so far as to say that it is the main reason why the Thetan put such a terrific clamp on the body. We have this flip-flop, you know, as one of the processes. Flip-flopping. And it sometimes creeps a guy in toward terror. Terror is best run by 8D with a wheel, specifically addressed to hate and terror. And the way I've been running it, I've been very successful in handling it because... And put this one down. When you run 8D, remedy the havingness of the individual with whatever you're addressing with 8D. If you're running the emotional band and hitting hate and terror, remedy is havingness when you're running hate by people hating. Have him mock up people hating and bring them in. And when you're running terror, have him mock up people terrified and bring them in. When you run 8D with a wheel, remedy havingness. I've been learning this. I thought for a while it could be avoided, but people low on the scale, where the scale is very condensed, have a terrible time if you don't remedy their havingness. They lose too much energy and too much mass too fast with this process. So, remedy havingness when running 8D, particularly that. Now, you could get a short 8D whereby you merely addressed two things. You addressed effort. You addressed something in the anger or hate band, and you addressed fear or terror. And that would be a very short 8D. And you would intersperse that. The reason we keep on calling it 8D is to call your attention to those early steps. Always do those before you go on to this next subject in 8D. It's terribly effective. And these people who are sitting with ridges around their faces and probably will go completely rigid with terror before you get through with their case. Okay.